The Corsican Caper by Peter Mayle. Chapter 1. Francis Raboul sat in the sunshine, contemplating his breakfast, a shot glass of extra virgin olive oil, which the French insist is so beneficial for le transi intestinal, followed by a large bowl of café crème and a croissant of such exquisite lightness that it threatened to float off the plate. Life was good. Sam Levitt and Elena Morales, Raboul's close friends and partners in past adventures, were arriving from California later in the day for an extended vacation. A couple of small sailboats were tacking their way toward the islands of Friul. While he was watching them, Raboul's attention was caught by something that was beginning to appear from behind the headland. It was, as he would later tell Sam, the mother of all yachts, 300 feet if it was an inch, sleek and dark blue, with four decks, radar, the obligatory helicopter squatting on its pad in the stern, and not one but two Riva speedboats in tow. It was now in front of Raboul, no more than 300 or 400 yards offshore. It slowed and drifted to a stop. His house, Le Palais du Ferrau, originally built for Napoleon III, was the biggest private residence in Marseille and the most glamorous. On board the yacht, Oleg Voronsky, Oli to his friends and numerous hangers-on, and the Barracuda to the international business press, turned to Natasha, the statuesque young woman whom he had appointed his personal first mate for the voyage.
"This is more like it," he said. "Yes, this is more like it."
He smiled, making the deep, livid scar on his cheek pucker. Apart from that, he would have been a good-looking man. He had spent the past week cruising along the Riviera coast, stopping off to look at properties on Cap Ferrat, Cap d'Antibes, Cannes, and Saint-Tropez. And he had been disappointed. He was prepared to spend serious money, 50 million euros or more, but he had seen nothing that made him want to reach for his wallet. There were some fine houses, certainly, but too close to one another. Vronsky took a cell phone from his pocket and pressed the single button that connected him to Katya, his personal assistant.
"Tell Johnny to come and see me on top deck, would you? And tell him to get ready for a quick trip. Oh, have we heard back from London yet?"
Somewhat encouraged by Katya's reply, he turned back to resume his inspection of Raboul's property, pushing his sunglasses up onto his head and adjusting the focus of his binoculars. Vronsky felt the first stirrings of what would quickly develop into a full-scale lust to acquire.